Verilen van de kitab, de sublime conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which includes the sunnats that were found in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, eating, drinking, sleeping, by means of which if you bring to our lives, will we also become valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just now we have discussed the sunnats of sleeping, the du'as, and the surahs, the ayats to recite before going to bed. And today we'll discuss the sunnahs of awakening and a few others thereafter, du'as to be recited upon awakening. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read the following du'a upon awakening. This is a very famous and known du'a which we all have learnt in Maktab. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه نشور. All praise is due to Allah who has given me life. أحيانا, who has given us life. After death, وإليه نشور, and to him is our return. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be returned. There are many other du'as also. But this is one more du'a which is a very beautiful du'a for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read the following dua when you awaken. Alhamdulillah alladhi afani fi jasadi wa radda alayya ruhi wa adnali bi dhikrihi. Alhamdulillah alladhi afani fi jasadi wa radda alayya ruhi wa adnali bi dhikrihi. The translation, all praise is due to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu who has granted my body safety. Afani. Jasadi. We thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that we woke up in the morning and everything is intact. Our beloved Shaykh Abu Hamisha Mubarak Rasul says, because he wakes up in the morning, alhamdulillah, he's healthy, no pinched nerve, no stiff neck, and he can stand, he just springs up out of the bed, stands on his 2 feet, doesn't think anything, and he's moving around. Person has a stroke, paralysis, you know what difficulty it is just for him to get off of the bed. And he, alhamdulillah, I can just get up and I'm moving. So we thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given afiyat in our bodies. So all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted me, has granted my body safety from every undesirable thing. Wa radda alayya ruhi, return my soul to my body. And just not only that, wa adina li bi dhikrihi, and Allah has permitted me to take His name. So Allah ta'ala gave me life once again, and gave me safety, my body, everything is intact, alhamdulillah. And he also, Hazrat says, if Allah Ta'ala wills for something to happen within your body whilst you are asleep, then who can put it right for you? Then doctors, specialists. So we thank Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala every morning for our health, alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala has given the health for His ibadat, for His worship, so person should be awake by tahajjud time, by fajr time. And Allah Ta'ala has returned my ruh to me, and Allah Ta'ala has permitted me to make a dhikr. So the deeds of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many other du'as also that is mentioned. Lengthy du'as, Subhanal ladhi yuhyi al-mawta, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma khulli dhanbi yawma taba'athuni min qabri. Allahumma qini adhabaka yawma taba'athu. عبادك ومن أدر رواية الحمد لله الذي رد علي رد علينا روحنا بعد إذ كنا أمواتا الحمد لله الذي أحيا نفسي بعد موتها إن ربي على كل شيء قدير. So we learn at least 2 or 3 du'as and continue to make amal upon it. The easiest way to learn or to remember to retain any sunnah, any du'a, is first of all to make amal upon it. First to make amal upon it, you won't forget it. And then to give da'wah towards it, to call others, to invite others, to remind others, to teach others. In this way, a person's life will become a life of sunnah, inshallah. So we've come to the end of the section more or less, when it comes to the sunnahs of going to bed and awakening. Today we'll just start the next chapter, which we have chosen to read. This is regards to the sunnahs and the ethics of hair. The sublime conduct of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as far as hair is concerned. Here also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. This one hadith. Second hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. There's two riwayats. First riwayat, Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned, you cannot be a perfect believer until I am not more beloved to you than your parents, وَلَدِهِ and your children, and all the people. And I have to be more beloved to you than all these people. So I ask myself, is it like that? Do I love my Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام more than my parents? Prepare to sacrifice more than my children also, more than my family. The second hadith, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُولَ هَوَاهُ. That you cannot be a perfect believer until your inner desires do not conform to what I have brought. So inside you also, the shahat, the mansha, the desire should be according to what Nabi Ali Salatu Salam has brought to us. Until you don't have that within you, this is what I want for myself. This is what I want for my family. So this has to come within us, then you are a perfect believer. That is why our Hazrat says also, that abhi tak hamare andar musliman nahi bane. Outwardly we are Muslim, but the inside is not Muslim, is that we still try to convert the inside. How the inside of us is thinking, whether it's nafs, whether it's desires, whether aspirations, the aspirations for my children and for my family, inside there yet hasn't become Muslim. How the West and the Kuffar have programmed our minds to work is just like this. How he's thinking from the morning to the evening, regards to the future of his children, etc. What trust he has in his Creator. We are just the same also. It's a whole effort, once again, to rewire the and format the heart and start thinking like Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What were the aspirations? Just for example, what were the aspirations of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu? What was within his heart? That was a Muslim. Khalid bin Walid, what was his aspiration? That's a Muslim. As Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar bin Khattab, Uthman Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, what was ticking within them? That is deen, that is Islam. So is it that my inside also is just the same? Therefore we see we have to read the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to know what was within them. What was ticking within, that was deen, that was Islam. What they wanted for themselves, what they wanted for their families, what they wanted for their children, that is deen, that is Islam. That is the environment we are trying to create once again to the effort of da'wah and all these programs, that the environment becomes such that the heart also becomes a Muslim, that the mind also becomes a Muslim. But we know within us, we all have this fear, what will happen to my children? I'm earning for my children. I'm working for my children. Ask Abu Huraira, did you work for your children? Ask Abu Bakr, Osman, Ali, the rest of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, did you work for your children? Was it to secure their dunya? That they must be comfortable for the rest of their lives. Whereas as the Khula, the Khanta radiallahu anhu, they are making the shkil of their four sons, that tomorrow the battle will be raging, make sure you don't come back. Make sure you don't come back and give your life one by one. So what a vast difference. What was real deen, real Islam. And how far we are gone from that ideal. That is why Hazrat says that outwardly we have become Muslim. But the effort of the heart. Has the heart converted to Islam as yet or not? And when we raise the hands also, from there we can gauge that how much dunya, dua we are making, how much dunya for akhirat. From there we can see the heart where it is. Dunya, at Baytullah, Rosa Mubarak. Where is the heart right now? What dua we are making, that will show you already where the heart is. Then only for dunya, oh, it's also Husnul Khatima, Yalla May Qabr, Day of Qiyamah, Pul Sirat, Mizan, the scales, all that his mind is working there. Yalla, how am I going to pass through there? My entire progeny also, how are they going to get through there? From there you can gauge now how much Islam has come in the heart. But as I mentioned now, we all are in the society, in this community, so we are thinking now, my son will qualify just now, you finish matric, go to buy him a car, and get him a flat, and get him married, and. And then after all of that, then we'll see to his deen. And this also, Allah Ta'ala, make me understand, make us understand, just by making them hafiz is not sufficient. Just by making them hafiz is not sufficient. The Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahimullah has mentioned clearly of Hazal Amal. The virtue for the hafiz, when the Quran speaks about the hafiz, or the Hadith Sharif mentions the virtue of a hafiz, Literally meaning our Hafiz, a protector, guardian, the one that preserves and protects. And we say, Wujati Urdu Hifazat Karna, to protect. So he protects the Quran. So who is the protector of the Quran? The Shaykh explains very clearly. Man ahalla halalahu wa harrama haramahu. A Hafiz of Quran is the one that what the Quran regards as halal, he regards as halal. What is haram, he regards as haram. He lives by the Quran. His parents has made his life conducive to live by Quran Sharif. Otherwise, ulama say, if he's become a Hafiz al-Quran, but his life is not in conformity to the dictates of the Quran Sharif, then we cannot call him a Hafiz. You will see he has memorized the Kitab. He has put it to memory. That's it. He's only memorized the Quran Sharif. That's all he has done. He's not a Hafiz of the Quran. He's not a protector of the Quran. He's only memorized the text. Now for him to qualify as a Hafiz, he should put it into his life. Then we'll see now he's preserved the Quran. And those that have done this also, you find amongst our families and friends and our society, those that, alhamdulillah, have become Hafiz al-Quran, memorized the Quran, and mashallah, they've kept the Islamic garb and the hair and the beard and Taraweeh, and you see them in the masjid reading the Quran Sharif. We can just picture in our mind anybody in our masajid. We find, alhamdulillah, he's there. He's the old Hafiz al-Quran. And why we call him Hafiz Sahib also? Because his life came out according to Quran Sharif. The name stuck with him. Nobody will just call him Muhammad, Hafiz Muhammad. They won't just call him Anwar, it's Hafiz Anwar. Although, you might not know he's a Hafiz, but people call Hafiz Anwar because he's living in the Quran. You see him in the masjid, Quran is open, Quran is open. And he carries himself out like that. Salah is in the first saf. He's there, he's a Hafiz, protecting the commands of Quran Sharif. Now he's qualified to be called Hafiz. Otherwise, he's just a memorizer. He's put it to memory. All those virtues of the Hafiz will not apply to him. Where we feel now, hey, he's going to take us to Jannat. But over the weekend, he doesn't look like a Jannati boy. How are you going to take the whole family to Jannat? Tell people for whom Jahannam is wajib. Some riwayats are even more. He will take them to Jannat. Parents will be called, he'll be called. And then the taj and the crown will be put on the parents' head. And the garments of Jannat will be given to them. And he'll be said to read his Quran and ascend the levels of Jannah and take your parents together with you. This will not be just for the memorizer of the Quran. He's the one who lived the Quran Sharif. That's why we reiterate, as it says, that the inside has to become Muslim still. How Sahaba Ikram thought, how they ticked, what was happening within them, this is what I want for my child. And we mentioned this many times also, I'm working for my children. What's going to happen to them? And most of us and our friends, etc., when we sit and speak also, 90%, 95%, maybe 98% also, when you ask the brothers, and when they are speaking, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala bless them with well, comfortable life, they ask the brothers, your father must have left behind for you about 10 million, 20 million, said nothing. Allah's karam, Allah's favor, Allah Ta'ala opened the way. We hit the road, we carried, we packed, we delivered, we went door to door, alhamdulillah, Allah was kind. Mother's du'as, wife's support, Allah Ta'ala gave the barakat. Allah Ta'ala gave the barakat, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala made us comfortable. Very few maybe, and with their parents left behind, mashallah, some parcel for them, some potlu for them, and now they built upon that. But by and large, you will hear brothers speaking, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak opened the way. Father wasn't very well to do, but we came, started trading, opened the way. But we've got this now fear. We've got this fear, what will happen to the children? What will happen to Allah Pak didn't abandon you. The father didn't leave much behind for you. And how Allah Ta'ala opened the way, the avenues for you. Now we're living with this anxiety. And that is why ulama say, don't play God. In your home, don't play like Fir'aun. أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِسْرَ هَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي. Doesn't this whole kingdom belong to me? Look at the rivers running under me, my command, etc. So everything's happening because of me. No, Allah Ta'ala gave it to you. Why are you living with this anxiety? That's what we can do for them. But deen must be the main thing in their life. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. We just read a few lines in regards to the hair, which has become now a common problem, as we know. When it comes to the hair, our youngsters, sometimes the elders also. So we have to learn about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So two hadiths we quoted. That one is our insan must conform to the what was in the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he must become more beloved to us than everything in the world. There's only one way for this to happen. Our Shaykh says also that we have to study the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, hear about every aspect of his life till the heart becomes convinced that what a Nabi, what a man he was in every aspect, how beautiful. You fall in love with someone because of some kamal and perfection in him. Beauty, talent, voice, intelligence, something in him that catches the heart. So we haven't studied Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam enough to know how perfect he was in every aspect of his life that we fall in love with him. So we have to listen over and over again that every aspect, how beautiful he was. How can I not love him? How can I not aspire to become like him? It's because we haven't studied, we haven't learned, we don't listen enough. That's why we read these chapters and how Sahaba become documented from his hair to his teeth, to his walk, to his food, everything documented by Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So we'll just discuss the hair because this has become a problem right now. That most of the youngsters you'll find in the hipsters, in the madrasa, in the school, in the masjids, the hair has become a bit of a problem because of, they say, load shedding. That the barber cut half the hair and then there was load shedding after. So couldn't finish the haircut. They only cut now a portion of the hair. The description of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, noble hair. Shu'bah rahmatullah alayhi narrates that the blessed hair of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam extended till the earlobe. It was all pushed back. It came right till the earlobe. So there's one length. The three length wafra, jumma and lamma. So this is one length till the earlobe. As Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair was between the ears and the shoulder. So he came in between. So it was also one length. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair sometimes, got here, would sometimes bounce on his shoulders. That was the longest. And then the riwayat says also, when it comes to the shoulders, this was because, say sometimes, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so busy with jihad, preparing jamaats, there wasn't time to trim the hair. So many of times we find the youngsters say that I'm growing his zulfa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not grow it till the shoulders intentionally. There wasn't time to trim it. So the correct thing would be to say that I'm cutting his zulfa. Because he will cut it intentionally till the earlobes. And thereafter he will let it grow till in between earlobes and the shoulder. If he had a chance, then he would trim it again. And if really he was very busy in all the taqaza and the demands of deen, then they say it will be until he bounced upon his shoulders. When he had a chance, then he would trim it again. Mulari Qadi rahmatullah alayhi, commentator of hadith, writes that there are six different reports concerning Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's noble hair. Number one, it extended till half the ear. We heard now earlobe. So one was even shorter than that, till half the ear. It extended till the earlobe. It extended till between the earlobe and the shoulder. It extended till the shoulder. It was close to the shoulder and it was plaited, or say plaited. There is also one style that Sahaba Ikram and Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to keep the hair. Hafiz Abu al-Fadl al-Iraqi rahimahullah has written that three terms have been used in the text of the ahadith describing the length of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's hair. The terms are wafra, jamma and limma. Wafra refers to hair that extends till the earlobe. That's wafra. Then jamma refers to the hair that extends till the shoulder. And nimma refers to the hair that goes beyond the earlobe. You will not find now that any of the lengths of the hair of Nabi Sasa goes beyond the shoulder. And what's happening now also, because the youngsters want to keep, so to say, it till the shoulder, now they go to a different extreme. Now they're wearing Alice band also. Or they're putting a ponytail. So they're not sure now which jamaat they belong to also. We don't allow ladies in the masjid. But now they are coming like that. So they went to this extreme also. So what's the reason for keeping hair like that? Mullah Qari rahmatullah alayhi has written, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he generally used to be between the earlobe and the shoulder. That generally was there, then between the ear and the shoulder. How many of us keep away here also? The variations in the reports refer to the gradual growth or clipping of the hair. In other words, the extremes refer to the time, meaning till the shoulder. So the extremes refer to the time when the hair was clipped or when it had grown to its full length. Allama Nawawi rahimahullah has also stated that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had his hair cut, it would reach till the earlobe. And when it was near the shoulders, it was in its full length. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum reported about the hair according to his length when they noticed it. So when he noticed that time, that was the riwayat that he had mentioned. Iyaz Malik rahmatullah alayhi has a totally different view. His view is that the hair situated at the forelock in front will reach till the ear. So if you put his head down, then that will come so much down till the ear. The hair of the middle of the head will reach lower than this. And the hair of the back of the head will reach till the shoulder. So he says now the different lengths in that way. Because it won't be possible now to get all the hair the same length. It won't be possible now the hair in the front, the same length as the hair at the back. Note, it is understood that from the above that it is permissible to keep the hair shoulder length, and it could also extend till the ears or earlobe. To grow the hair beyond the shoulder is a contravention of the sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not grow his hair beyond the shoulder. When he reached there and he got the opportunity, then he would clip it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had thick hair. Jubayr bin Mut'im radiallahu anhu narrates that whilst describing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's noble features, the Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that the hair of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed hair was thick. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair was densely grown and beautiful. Similarly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beard was dense and thick. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's beard was also dense and thick. This has been mentioned in the commentary of Ihya. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's beard was so dense that it used to conceal his upper chest. It had a very thick growth. We'll just complete this chapter, it's half a page. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hair was slightly curly. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam's hair was neither twisted, extremely curly, nor was it completely straight. Such hair is very attractive and beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam perfect in every aspect. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and to emulate his sunnahs inshallah.